Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Welcome. Thank you for listening. And this is released on the 15th.
Oh,
so that's kind of exciting. There's probably
But we don't know who the wiener is yet.
No, but there is definitely a winner. We know that.
Well, Hey.
All you people listening in the world.
Everybody in the world, first of all, is listening right now because.
Yes. That's why we're living it up.
Yeah. So go to our Instagram page right now if you haven't, because the winner has been posted or will be posted today, I should say.
Yes, depending on.
Yeah, will be posted today. And you have 24 hours to claim your prize.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, we're serious about this.
I'm pretty sure it is. Anyway, go to the Instagram page.
Someone's
a
winner.
I'm so excited for the winner.
And we'll schedule that consultation, you lucky duck.
A full hour of both of us.
How you make it sound.
It's going to be amazing.
Naughty.
Hey, listen, if that's what they want.
No.
No. Okay. All right. Fine. You're no
Michelle's, fun. Michelle's ready to go. She blocked out an hour of time. It does not matter what
I've
she does
have
in that hour.
The door is going to be locked. The kids will be out of the house. I'm all yours
for a consultation.
Yeah, with the quote, air quotes, consultation. No, that's okay. Well, let's be serious. This really is a consultation, and we're gonna help you with all your wedding woes.
And thank you
for everyone that
signed up, followed the rules, did the thing.
Oh my God, we just like the first day, like our little quiet Instagram is blowing up. It's very exciting, which means we have a lot of work to do.
Yes.
We got to input all the entries. Like one person had 14 entries just with her, like she posted twice to her story.
Oh.
Like she tagged like five or six friends.
She's an overachiever.
She's like, she's serious.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Yes. Yes.
So today's episode. Yeah. Or do you have any housekeeping or any updates?
Housekeeping? No. You know,
it's dark in here.
Yeah. No, I don't really have any. I feel like we're up to speed. We're up to date. You know, 2020 is just, you know, boom, we're in it.
Mm.
I just got thrown at me.
My 20-year high school reunion would be this year.
Oh,
if that happens.
You're getting old.
Yeah.
Roanoke.
Thank you.
I was just hearing you tell Julian that you're from Roanoke. It sounds so twangy. Like
it's Roanoke. I didn't add it.
I want to say
it's
Roanoke.
It's spelled that way.
How do you say it? How do y'all say it over there in Texas?
Roanoke.
How do you say it, Julian?
Roanoke.
Roanoke.
Because that's how it's spelled. He's not adding anything to it.
Well, I feel like you should make it, you should put more emphases. Like Christy says it. Roanoke.
The first time I said that, you did not get it.
I know.
I was like, you put the emphases on the wrong syllable. And you were like, what? Syllable?
But then it kicked in. I was laughing my ass off. Hey, where did you say it? It's just past where? Roanoke is just past where?
Oh, I think it's... The airport. It's a big airport. It's not some like podunk.
No, the airport is the size.
No, DFW. Yeah, it's freaking huge. I've spent many hours at DFW, and you can. There's plenty to do.
It's like a mall.
It is like a mall. Yeah, it's a hub.
To get on an airplane there too.
Yeah.
Well, now you've blown it, Julian. Julian Lever, everyone.
He couldn't be quiet, Julian.
Julian Lever is our guest today, and the topic is modern wedding etiquette. And before everybody freaks out because we're using the word etiquette, we're still going to be your good old Michelle and Christy on this episode.
His name is not Nancy. It's Julian.
I'll do your blurb, which I really like when you sent us this. It's a kind of narrative. It tells a story.
Thank you.
And so we'll get a little Emily Post / Martha Stewart up in here with resident etiquette expert Julian Lever. Here we go. Wedding.
You said
couples.
Emily. Sorry, Emily. I said Nancy. Wait, Nancy's Emily's daughter, isn't it?
I was
Emily
just going to go with that Nancy.
Nancy
thing.
Post.
Been talking
is the
about
mom
the
or the daughter?
Podcast.
I have the
hilarious,
book.
Hilarious.
The big
it's
gay
called
podcast.
Nancy. Okay.
No, it's Nancy. All right, go ahead.
All right.
Sorry.
Here we go again.
Get
I want
serious.
Veronica to like add some music here.
Oh.
Wedding couples usually face their biggest challenge immediately after the excitement of their actual engagement wears off. They now know what needs to be done, but the how is not as certain. That's Julian
true.
Lever's expertise is in applying practical techniques to the basic tasks laid out for most couples on their standard wedding checklist. Sorry. Julian's background in the wedding world gives him the perfect tripod of experience. He worked for 5 years with Rosewood Hotels and Catering and as an area director of sales. I don't think I knew that, by the way. It explains a lot.
Yeah, we're hotel, you and me, Julian, hotel background.
Keeping it real.
Yep.
The experience cultivated a discerning eye for five-star service. He became known for his impeccable taste and attention to detail. It was also at Rosewood where he developed his affinity for a classic bow tie as his signature attire piece and earned the name the Dapper Diplomat.
Wow.
In between tenures in luxury hospitality, Julian honed his wedding expertise as a luxury wedding planner in the Dallas market. By 2016, he had moved into wedding planning full-time, focusing on destination weddings and local luxury events. Julian also decided to refine his etiquette knowledge, acquiring a certified protocol officer designation from the Protocol School of Washington.
What? I have so many questions.
Hosted by the Dapper Diplomat is Julian's medium. So that's its own thing. Hosted by the Dapper Diplomat.
Got it.
His medium for providing the skills that wedding couples need in between the checklist and the chapel. He also speaks to the event community and conducts workshops for some of the nation's finest brands to elevate communication, dining, business, and social skills. Welcome, Julian.
Wow, you got your hand in it all.
That was good, right?
Yeah, that was amazing. I'm going to put you in my pocket and carry you around.
You wrote it.
Well, that's true.
So, what?
Yeah, tell us. Tell
the
us.
The Protocol School of Washington. Is this any protocol or what?
Is it Hogwarts?
It's basically like Hogwarts. So
yeah.
The Protocol School of Washington, they actually train the team at the White House. They train the team at the State Department.
Oh.
And they train the teams that are stationed with every military commander in the United States Armed Forces.
I love that you got certified, or that you were like, this is going to be my niche. So how do I like put some oomph behind that?
Exactly. Like, go and learn from the best.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, really, if you're going to say you're an expert, be like, no, I really am. I did this whole program.
Yes. And it was really cool. We got to actually be in a class with people from a wide variety of backgrounds. So a bunch of people from the military, people from NASA, people actually in my class was the chief protocol officer for Boeing. So they come to learn and understand, right? Like if you're selling an airplane to another country and you hang their flag incorrectly, they're not going to buy from you again, right? So,
right.
It was really cool and very, very fascinating experience. It was done in Washington, D.C.
So people who work at the White House are sent to these classes?
Correct. So there's offices of protocol in each kind of sector of the government that basically kind of work to keep everybody in the right place. So like if there's going to be a meeting between a congressperson and the White House protocol officer and the congressional protocol officer get together and they say, okay, who's got the seniority and who sits where and how is this going to work? And that's how they determine all of the seating and who shakes hands first and who talks to who first and who introduces themselves first. And it's all very scripted.
Oh, I feel like I'd love to do that.
I feel like it's less Hogwarts and more like Anne Hathaway and Princess Diaries, like learning how to be a royal.
100%.
It's like slapping your hand.
Cool. Yes, 100%. And really, protocol, this kind of training really originated in the military when like the United States military was going to go and meet with the British military, right? So that they are very well versed in exactly what to do in each situation.
Do they go over like dining and that, like table setup and like forks and knives and all that? Or was it simply like you serve from this side? Like what, how about that?
It is totally in depth. So it's kind of a 7-day course and you just go and get immersed. And it is everything from dining to how to hang the flag.
We should do it, Christy.
It's
7 days.
Fun. Yes. So
I want to do it.
Versions or small versions. And so there's different courses that you can take and they do them all over the world. It's really cool.
So how then moving into weddings specifically, did you take all of that and come up with this idea of protocol versus etiquette? Like even when we were talking on the phone, kind of doing the onboarding, I was like trying to write out the notes as you were talking. And then I was like, I might be getting those swap. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, yeah,
well, it's kind of a fine line, right?
Oh, it totally is a fine line. And I think everybody gets really confused with it. And really, I went there because I felt like in all of the jobs leading up to owning my own business, I was just answering etiquette questions all the time, right? Mm. That's where people get tripped up, you know? They can go through the checklist and do the things that are there, but the part that's hard is the part that's unwritten, right? Is what to do in these very specific situations with very specific players, right? And so that's kind of where protocol versus etiquette comes in. And so I was kind of explaining it that protocol is, if you think of protocol, it's like the overarching rule, okay? It's the rule that doesn't change. Okay.
It's so, like the manual.
Exactly. It's the manual. It's the big, basically, like if you think about, let's take a place setting. This is a good way to give an example. Okay. When you look at a place setting on the table, the plate always goes in the center of the place setting, right? And the forks go to the left of the place setting. And then the knives and the spoon goes to the right.
Is the knife on the outside or the spoon on the outside?
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay. Right? I can't wait.
They go in those places, right? And then usually your drinks are on the upper right and the bread is on the upper left. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. The place where all of those things go is the protocol. Okay. The etiquette is that all of those things could change based on the meal that you're having. Okay.
If so you the etiquette is like the variable.
It's the variable. Okay. There's a guideline, right? But it can change in each situation. And that's why there can be modern etiquette, because there is kind of the rules that applied in the past, there's the rules that apply in the present, and then there's the rules that are going to apply in the future. We don't know really what technology or those types of things are going to enhance, but they can change, right? So the protocol is that the plate goes in the middle. The etiquette is that the plate could look 1,000 different ways.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Well, and etiquette is also in the, how you eat the meal, you know, where you hold your fork and knife. And then you American is you eat with the fork in the right hand. And yeah,
exactly. Totally. And I think this is the other thing too about etiquette, right? Is that etiquette, the number one rule of etiquette, do you guys know what the number one rule of etiquette is actually?
Be polite.
It's a good start. Yes.
Okay.
But the actual number one rule is to make everybody feel comfortable.
Ah,
right. So
hospitality,
and that changes in every,
and it changes in every situation. So it really is about not hurting anyone's feelings and making everyone feel comfortable.
So above all, as long as you do that, it is proper etiquette.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in thinking about weddings from a backyard barbecue, potluck, casual affair, to the plaza in New York, you know, huge budget over the top. You came up with, like, I asked you to create like a top five, and we settled on etiquette traps.
Yes, etiquette traps.
And this is a list. Explain what these are. Things that, are these like top questions or things people get?
These are top questions I feel like I encounter a lot of the time. And I also feel like people get trapped in them and then go round and round and round. And that this is also kind of where that committee that has appointed itself to consult you on your wedding likes to weigh in.
Hmm.
Yes. So you mean your parents and
scroll back. And yeah, and Aunt Betty, who has no clue.
Yeah.
Okay. But she's
she's such a loudmouth.
She really is. You know? Boom.
So this is
invited, go sit in the corner.
Yes. This is like something that you might be spinning out about. Like number one,
exactly.
You wrote down guest list. We get a ton of questions about guest list, but
all
I agree with you that people like
they
not over focus. Yeah.
They do. They overthink it. They way overthink it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And they analyze it to death. And guess what? You know, you all can't see me at home, but I'm gonna lick my finger and put it up in the air and like. That's how you figure out who's coming to your wedding, okay? There's so many different factors that play into a guest list. You can never, it's not a science.
You're not
right?
going to get 100%
no.
if you do your, you know, it's not, you're not being graded on it.
Exactly.
You're always going to piss somebody off no matter what.
100%. But I think the thing that is really important here is this whole idea of multiple lists, okay? Because the trap that people fall into is they're like, oh, well, if nobody comes in, I'm going to start to send to like my B list. And then if nobody comes off the B list, I'm going to start to send to my C list. And what I would just like to say and get on the soapbox with for a half a second is that, guess what? Your friends talk to each other. All of them talk to each other, okay? And so if they didn't get the save the date and they didn't get the initial round of the invitation, they know that they are on the B list, okay? You should just invite them in the first place and accurately get to the count that's correct, you know? And what I say, the guiding principle here is if you would have them to your house for dinner, they can be invited to the wedding. If you wouldn't host them at your house, then why are they on the list?
Yeah, and I think we've definitely used that as an example. Have they been to your house in the last ever?
Yes.
And will you see them and have them over in the next year? And that goes for like your aunts and uncles just as much as it goes 100%. For your coworkers and friends.
And your like, third cousin who your mother is insisting on inviting.
Yes. Like not all relationships are equal just because they're on the same branch of the family tree. Like my mom has some siblings that I see pretty often. My dad has some siblings that I never see. They're in the same level, but they're not in the same way in my life.
Exactly.
So you can, if you have to put your foot down because the venue has a capacity cap, which most venues do, And you shouldn't even be talking about your guest list until you have a pretty good idea of what
your venue is going to hold.
Yeah,
exactly. But the way to get out of the trap, and I think that that's the important part, right, is to bring it back to the two of you. Okay. Like when things are getting spun out and like everybody seems to be weighing in and it seems to be getting really crazy, the most important thing is to return to just the two of you, right? And regroup and be like, where are we? And like, let's not listen to anybody else's opinion right now because this is actually our wedding. Mm-hmm. And then start again, right?
Yeah, and you can table it for a week, right?
Always. Like, table it. It's never, unless your invitation is going out tomorrow, then it's time to make a decision, of course. Yeah. But tabling is never a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Number two, in terms of etiquette traps.
Ooh, to tip or not.
Also a big discussion we've had before on the podcast. So what's your take?
You should tip.
Yes, okay? You should.
But you should only tip vendors who are present on the day, who remain the entire time.
Mm.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
So, okay. So, not the florist.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. You should not tip the florist. You should tip the drivers of the transportation if they have not already been tipped by your company. And you should tip the hair and makeup people because they've basically worked the equivalent of a day by the time you get to the reception.
What about the, my client might not tip the florist directly that they paid $5,000 to, but the delivery guys that walk everything in and then come back at midnight and walk everything back out. I usually say that a $20 bill goes a long way when you give it to them on the front end.
Absolutely.
It's an appreciation thing.
100%. And you can use tipping to be very proactive. I love that example because tipping the wait staff on the front side is a totally different kind of experience than tipping them at the end, you know?
Mm.
I also think, like, let's say you don't have a planner, right?
Oh, God forbid.
Shocking. let me show you my surprise face. But we hope you have a planner of some kind. But if you don't, or even if you are a planner and you're listening, the number one thing that you can do to tip someone at the beginning of your event is to give a little bit of your time, okay? And take a minute and gather everybody who's about to work on your event and launch it and just thank them all for being there, okay? Because I think the number one gift that you can give is your time. And so if you can take a minute and pause and for 3 minutes, thank everyone and really get them on your side and help them feel really involved in what's happening, that's the best tip that you can give.
You know, I appreciate that. I think I don't do that, and I should.
You don't sometimes do like a circle up?
No, I don't. I do talk to everybody individually, but I think that's a really good idea. Sometimes it doesn't allow for it because sometimes you're getting ready down to the last fucking minute, second. But that's something I'm going to try to implement this year.
Yeah, if you can, gather everybody.
I want to go back to, and I just want to throw this in, the tipping of the florist, because I do recommend that my clients tip everybody, but sometimes they're out before you can do it. And I think it's dependent on what they're doing. Julian, because I think that if it's a really quick, easy floral job, they're just dropping centerpieces and handing off the personal flowers, maybe two vases or whatever for the ceremony, it's simple, quick, out the door. However, if it's a huge install and they're for hours and hours and hours, then I think, you know, maybe we reconsider this.
Yeah, and maybe we do, but I would also say, and this is why I somewhat argue on the, like, it's just like tipping the whole hotel staff, right? Mm-hmm. Gratuity is technically already included. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The same as a service charge listed and delivery fees and all of those things listed on a large floral proposal.
That's true. They do charge delivery and setup fees. Like
24% a setup fee.
And it does come down to circumstances, like all etiquette variables too.
Very
if you know like sometimes because of us, because of the planner, the client gets a little more bang for their buck. Like the florist likes working with us. They had some extra stuff. They threw it in.
Always happens.
Yeah, it does. It's pretty common that they go above and beyond. We're using florists as an example, but it could be any vendor when they've been made to feel really great. They've been made to feel appreciated and they've had a great working relationship. And if you know that any of your vendors have actually done more than what you've paid them for, which speaking for myself,
you should tip.
Yeah. I always go above and beyond. Yeah. I can't, I would say it's one of the things I need to work on is like better pricing things from the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's for a whole nother episode. But yes,
above and beyond. The difference between like the protocol and the etiquette, right?
Yeah.
Like this is a great example where really the etiquette is about what is the specific situation that you're working in. Yeah. But it's good. And it's a trap. So you can kind of see we can, even the three of us can go round and round about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so racy. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Number three. It's about to get even trappier.
Big time.
Children.
Children at the wedding.
Oh, the children.
Oh, yes. I feel like this is almost maybe the number one question.
What is the question here exactly? What is
really the question is to invite children or not to invite children?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And which children are we inviting and which children are we excluding, right? And this is a trap. And this is where the committee, which has not been appointed, really likes to weigh in.
Yeah, a volunteer committee.
The volunteer committee. Oh, let me just tell you how we did it. Mm-hmm. And, well, I am so offended that you don't appreciate my children. Well, they're three and they're poorly behaved and they are going to run around my dance floor. So, no, they are not invited. But I think here again, the standard with children versus no children, right? The easy way out is the invitation, okay? Mm-hmm. It's the easy way out.
Don't you feel like 50 years ago, whatever, I'm using that as a, just it, back in the day, if it was put in the invitation some way, then people just—
They followed the rules.
They followed it. And now it's like—
Truly did. And they had no ifs, ands, or buts. They wouldn't even—
Yes.
Move on it.
And now it's like, hey, when you just invited Mr. and Mrs., did you forget?
Yeah. Exactly.
Little so Johnny.
Suggest is if you are not going to invite children or you don't have a plan for children, it's really important to have that conversation ahead of the invitation being sent. Mm. Preempt it, right? Okay. Preempt it and make them feel a little guilty for even asking on the backside.
So a phone call?
A phone call.
Okay.
Or if you're following the rule, they could come to your house, invite them for dinner.
With their kids.
And let them know, you know, like you really are very important to me. Your children are also very important to me. But if you do all of that on the front side, the likelihood of someone coming on the back once you've only invited them is much smaller.
Yes.
And because you took the time.
Yes. And I do think it helps to employ maybe some matriarchs to help with that a little, like soften the
blow.
Yeah. Ahead of time, like you said, so that by the time the invitations go out,
everybody's very clear on what's going on. Right. Because I am a huge advocate for not writing on anything adult only reception, right. Or adult only event. Because
you are like that.
So you think just the addressing of the
it indicates on the address.
Yes.
Is this something personal with you, Julian, or is this something that you learned in your trainings or—
Well, that is really how the Washington School of Protocol does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they basically teach you what the standard is at the White House. And then if that's the highest standard, then it goes down from
there. That's good enough.
So at the White House, if children are not invited to an event, I mean, it's kind of understood though at the White House.
Their name would never appear on the invitation.
Oh, so each individual's name is on the invitation. Not, you know, Mrs. Christie Matthews and family. It would be Mrs. Christie Matthews, Mr. Lance Matthews.
Exactly. Very formalized.
Mm-hmm. What about the RSVP card?
And oh, like with children, you mean?
Like if you were inviting parents, but not the kids. So on the is there a specific way to put the wording on your RSVP card? Or is it just that line with the end? No,
it would just be the line.
The White House would not do that, Kristen.
No, they wouldn't. And in fact, the White House would actually then personally address each invitation. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. To the individuals.
Oh.
Do they handwrite? Well, do they do calligraphy?
They would be a calligrapher in like handwritten. And I even take it like a higher level than the White House. I would say the Queen. Mm. Okay? If you are invited to something by the Queen, your name is literally written on the invitation. Full stop. That's it. Nobody else is coming.
So I do like adapting this idea of telling someone in person. I think if a lot of people did that, let's take this as a life lesson here in general, instead of like the whole like
more face-to-face stuff, you mean?
Just face-to-face over a dinner or drink, be like, oh my god, I love you so much, I can't wait for you to come to the wedding. This might come as like kind of a challenge for you, but we're just not gonna invite kids. And
and you say it in whatever way, and you can talk about our venue has a capacity and we really would like for the two of you to be there, but if we add your children, like my aunt can't come.
Right.
You know? So there are always factors. And by having the conversation in person, you can actually explain those factors. Because
and in advance.
There are reasons in advance why you're doing this. There is a reason. But a text message is not ever going to be able to convey that.
Yeah, because she can interpret it as like, what a bitch. She's always hated Tommy, you know.
Exactly. Or like,
she thinks when they're together, they just beat each other up. But, exactly. You know.
And then the mother like goes into a shame spiral.
Right.
So we don't need to do that.
Right.
Like, let's have it out in person and not be passive aggressive about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then address your invitations to...
directly to the people who are
invited. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I think one of the questions we have is about that, but maybe we'll have time to dig in some more. Because there are like, what if only the wedding party's kids can come? Blah, blah, blah.
I know we said this before we started recording, but did we mention that these questions are coming from our Facebook community, Kristy? Did we tell those listening?
No.
We're getting these questions from our Facebook community.
Well, we haven't gotten to the questions yet, but this is what Julian put together. And then the questions, are all from listeners. So if you sent me a question or put it on the Facebook group, which I prompted, and we don't get to it this episode, we will do it in a Yawa.
Okay. Cause this is all, these are the questions we get all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking some of them are like barely etiquette umbrella, mm-hmm. But I'm so curious to see that you might have a different take on it than Michelle and I have. Already given advice about. So,
absolutely.
Julian, your etiquette protocol is coming from a very strict, very high level, place.
The place where they train the people that represent us as a country.
Right. I think that's
the highest, that is the highest level, right, in the US. Yeah. But again, it can all be adapted. It's just good to know the baseline.
And then make sure decision based on that, of course. We always say that. You do you, boo.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
So number four, you put wedding gifting.
Ooh, yes.
And then guests and couples. So what were you thinking was the trap on that?
I was just saying, this is another place where people get stuck, right? Is this whole idea of, do we register? How do we register? Do we do... part registry, and then we also do like this honeypot situation, mm-hmm. And I think there's so many different things as it pertains to gifting, and should we gift or should we not gift, and it can just be a trap that you fall into, and I think it's also one where younger couples kind of have a different version of dealing with this than maybe their parents or their grandparents. And I think we should just focus on that part because that's really the more etiquette driven portion.
Okay.
Because I feel like wedding registries are really more baby boomerish. Okay. Mm. That's really kind of when they came about.
Right.
and this whole idea of consumerism and those types of things, because really pre-baby boomers, it was more this idea of you bring a card, right, to a wedding, but also because weddings were really more in church basements and mm-hmm. in the afternoon. And if you were going to do something, maybe you just bring a little cash or you do a little gift in that way, right?
The same way you would bring a gift if you like went to somebody's house party or a dinner. Okay.
Exactly. Much more low-key.
Low-key, yes.
And then things really kind of exploded. And then obviously, as we've seen the internet grow, things have gotten out of control. So you have so many choices and there are so many places to turn. And I think that generationally, that's where we run into trouble. And that's really where the trap is. And I would say the trap really is this. It is that you have a very certain way that you and your fiance have decided that you want to do this. And the parents on either side are maybe disagreeing with you, right?
Okay.
Like that's the ultimate trap.
If you've, like you're saying, if you've lived together already and you two are like, yeah. we don't need more shit. We already have a house full of stuff. What we really want
to do this
in
a different way. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And we want people to donate money to
a charity.
Planned Parenthood. Yeah, and the grandparents are like, no, we're not doing that.
On earth.
We want to get you a blender.
Exactly. Or we want to bring you some cash, which, hey, you know, no one should ever say no to cash.
I feel like we can just end the podcast right now. Right. We've gone over everything. No one should say no to cash. There's nothing else to say.
And we're moving on, friends. Okay.
But okay. So how do you
get out of that?
Yeah, what's your advice?
It really, again, it brings it back to you and your fiance, right? Like it's your wedding. Okay. I think that really is kind of where it's at. And like, this has nothing to do with who's paying for something or who's not paying for something, mm-hmm. right? No one is going to cut you off generally because you choose not to do a registry.
So don't overthink this
Don't overthink it. Don't let it spin you out and get you so overwhelmed that you can't move forward on the decision.
Yeah.
But that's the way out of this.
If you guys want to do a little bit on Zola, a little bit in Target, and a little bit with a charity, do it.
Do it that way.
Make the decision, move on, post it on your website, tell your friends, whatever you're going to do.
Yeah. Okay. And don't fight about it, but don't worry because it really is about the two of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And the next trap, the last trap for etiquette, top five, is tale as old as time, parents, divorces, seating charts.
Yeah.
How are we going to honor all the parents in one day, one ceremony? What do you think? This is really hard for people because it is fraught.
This is really freaking tricky. Okay. But mm-hmm. this is where people get into trouble on this one. And it's funny because I always like to say that I have a job because people don't follow common sense. Okay. But it is like etiquette is pretty much common sense if you like break it down. But no one's following it, which is why people hire me to come in and tell them about it. Right.
Yeah.
But I think the common sense here and the etiquette here is that you should have an in-person conversation. I feel like people, again, in this very specific situation, try to get passive aggressive about it and maneuver around it without having to have whatever hard conversation it is that actually needs to be had. And I mean, I think again, this is just a life lesson, right? You gotta man up or woman up or gender neutral up.
Yes. Okay.
Because having that kind of conversation is hard, but it's going to, you know what? It's your day. And all of those other people that we're talking about that generally you're running into problems with are all grown adults. They are generally, 15 to 20 years older than you, mm-hmm. you know, or really probably older than that.
Your parents' age, whatever that is.
Yeah, whatever your parents' age is, right? They're adults. They're grown adults. If you can have an adult conversation with them, you should expect them to be able to behave and react in an adult way. But if you, and this is where the trap is really, is that we revert to this role of child parent.
Yes.
Whereas we really need to become our own parent, right? Because this, we're guiding this process. We need to be, it's an adult to an adult conversation.
Yeah. We do have that, don't we? Like, I don't want to have an awkward conversation with Uncle Mike. He's like,
too hard.
Uncle Mike. Yeah. I don't, but it's like, you're planning a wedding. You're getting married. You are an adult. Welcome. Yes.
If you can get married, you need to be having these kind of conversations.
Yeah. That's a good perspective. It is hard though,
especially with your parents, because all your life you've been the child, your life they've been the authority. It's been, you know.
Yeah. And but, I think right there, what you just said is how you start that conversation. Mm. Guys.
Lisa, Mark.
This has been the way that we have handled these kinds of situations. But guess what? This is a huge turning point in my life. And moving forward, this is what I'm going to need from you.
Yeah.
That sounds like more than just a conversation about your wedding planning. I like
planning is wrapped up in all this other stuff that has nothing to do with wedding planning.
It is. But Michelle has a young man in the house now, a tween. Okay. And the day that he sits her down and goes, Mom, all my life, we've done things your way, but now I'm going to need to make some changes. Like when that day comes, Michelle's going to be like,
you're going to have the conversation, and then you're going to go in your room and maybe have some tears, but ultimately you're going to be proud of him.
He's kind of already done that to me. He's like 12 times more mature than I am. It's ridiculous.
So, and you are proud of him. So that's a good
but
point.
But I am so proud of him. Yeah. No, you're right. You know, I'm just thinking about me with my parents and how that works.
It's so funny. And even like your siblings, right? Like I
just had
this really hard conversation with my sister. I won't go into details about it, but it turned out well. But the best part about it was that at the end of the conversation, I just said, you know, I'm sorry that I said that. And she said, you know what, Julian, like what you said was right. I just need to chew on that for a little while and we'll just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Like the thing is that they're family. And ultimately, family still always tries to come back together.
It takes a long time to get there, it feels like. But like, it will, you know, circle, have faith that it'll circle back.
But once you get there, it's like a whole other world.
It's a magical, like, third dimension.
Those breakthroughs. Yeah. And your wedding is a great time to do this. It's a whole, you know, you're
it's a demarcation in your life.
That
really happen. That really will never happen again, right? So it's like birth, like you can drive, you can vote. Like there's all these little moments in your life. And this is one of the big ones where things and your relationship with your family is going to start to change.
It'll shift. Totally. And on that note, the wedding is, we talked a lot on the phone about how this is different. This is an elevated experience. As much as Michelle and I are always preaching like, it's about you. It's a, you know, do whatever you want, throw out the rules, turn things on their side. It's your wedding. We do also recognize that this is different than any other event that you will plan.
Yeah, exactly.
And you mentioned, well, it's the only one really where you're both the host and the guest of honor at the same time.
And you have to put on those hats and like shift them around, you know?
So I asked you for some best practices, like how, like now we're fast forwarding through all the planning and going straight to the actual wedding day.
Totally.
Best practices, tips or tricks for managing both those roles of host and guest of honor to make it most successful.
Okay, perfect. So we want to do the wedding day ones, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I would say my first one is make sure that you build in the hurry up and wait time. Okay?
Some buffer.
Yes, build in the buffers. Because those moments where you're waiting for something, I have found that those are the moments that turn into the in-between. Right? The moments in between. That's when the special stuff really happens.
Yeah,
that's
the sweet stuff.
Connect with someone in a way that you didn't know that you were going to connect. But we get so wrapped up in, oh my God, the timeline, da, 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 that we forget to build in the buffers.
If you squeeze every minute out of your wedding day, your 8 hours or whatever, if it's so packed full that there is not this room to take a breath, wait a little bit. Oh, we got here 5 minutes early, but now we just wait till the church doors open or whatever.
Exactly. Or you're waiting
have a time.
The bridal room or the groom's room or any of those. And those are where the special moments happen.
Good hint. And also very doable because you're going to have to figure out a timeline at some point, throw some buffer time in between things. Michelle and I always talk about adding whatever you think your hair and makeup timeline is going to be, add an extra 40 minutes. Like, just do it. Trust us.
And you will be surprised by how you fill it so quickly, right? Okay, so the second one that I said would really kind of is good to remember when you're the host and the guest of honor is to bring all the major parties in for the close to finish timeline, right? And bring in both sets of families and parents and grandparents if you can, right? Because the more informed everyone is, A, the more special that they will feel, okay? B, no one will be asking you questions in the midst of things happening. Like, oh, why are we doing this now, mm-hmm. right? They will have a timeline. They will have been informed. You will have taken a minute to go ahead and inform them on the day so that on the day they can actually enjoy it, as opposed to be worrying about where they need to be next.
So bringing it in, meaning?
Bring it in early.
Okay. Shoot an email or.
Or have an actual meeting. Like have everybody over to your house and have a coffee or have a cocktail or whatever it is you do in your family with your tradition and bring everybody together and just go over it. You know, this is also where you can nip any last minute stuff in the bud.
Yeah.
Right? If there's any lingering, anything where people have questions or they're not quite right, everybody's in the same room, you know, and you're with your nearest and your dearest and like, let's hash it out right now because I don't want to hear any of it on the day.
And nobody feels excluded. We talked about that before. Like, well, I didn't even know what time I'm supposed to be there. Am I going to be in on these photos?
Like, and no one told me I was driving grandma between this and this. I was planning on
party of one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I think it really makes sense what you said, that it makes people feel special because a lot of times we are doing weddings, and I say we, like our generation and younger in millennials, you're doing weddings differently. So older people in the family are like, wait, you're doing what? There's going to be lawn games. No one's going to want to play whatever, you know,
tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
Or why are you doing it in this order? This is not the order that I did it or my grandmother did it or whatever. Right.
Yeah. So making it about like, hey, it doesn't matter what we're doing. What matters is I'm telling you because you're a VIP and I want you
and you're
as comfortable as possible. Yeah.
Exactly. And it goes back to that etiquette rule, right? Like making everybody as comfortable as possible.
Very good.
And then my third kind of item for being the best host and guest of honor is I recommend all of my clients skip the cocktail hour.
Oh my god,
people are dying.
Tell us why, Julian.
Because it is the first time you will be alone together. Full stop. And 5 minutes of you getting your dress bustled and like chugging a glass of champagne and him eating through your hors d'oeuvres is not an acceptable amount of time to just spend alone right after such a momentous once-in-a-lifetime process.
You think taking that time is more valuable?
More valuable.
Yeah.
Have a conversation. Take a deep breath. Because you are about to have to talk to any number of people, some of whom you're really excited to talk to and some of whom you're going to be forced to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is it. That is really the only moment in time where you can really have a decent chunk of hurry up and wait time to be able to spend it with each other, right? Like go see the ballroom and do that first, okay? If you arrive to your reception and everyone else is in the cocktail hour and you want to see it before everyone else, go see it first and then go to the little room and do whatever you need to do, mm-hmm. right? Have food, but spend it together. And don't have your photographer in there. Don't have your videographer, maybe for a second at the beginning. But really, I have had real success with couples by having them banish everyone from the room for that time period and really dive in and enjoy their own company, you know?
Well, it's hard for them to connect with one another when there's people around constantly. And well, especially, and you're in Texas, Julian, and a lot of times from what I hear, it's very traditional in that they don't see each other before the ceremony. And, you know, they, exactly. that's the first time they see each other. They haven't seen each other all day. So that's a prime connection time for a lot of couples.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if they do see each other before, you're in more of a stage situation.
You haven't felt right? relaxed together.
Not at all. It's like a deep breath. You can become the host, right? Because really at that point is the transition. Okay. Because prior to that, really, you're the guest of honor.
Like a star in a play.
You're the star. Right? In the ceremony piece, it's much more focused on you. Yes, there are some things that you're going to do at your reception that make you the star, but primarily you switch hats here and you become the host. Because yes, you're going to be doing things, but if you don't have a planner, right? Which all three of us obviously advocate that you have a planner.
Yes.
But if you don't, it's okay too. You just need to be aware that this is the moment that your hat changes.
Got it. So, I want to pull from the questions now. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah, let's go. I'm good.
Now, these questions are ones that, like I said, I prompted. If you have any etiquette questions, send them my way for this episode. So they're all over the map, and we're doing them in sort of no particular order, except we'll get through a few here. So the first one is not something that we've talked about yet at all. And she gave a little bit of background that I think is helpful. So she said, it's a mid-budget wedding, very DIY, and we don't care about having cake really, other than I guess we have to. We will have one chocolate and one vanilla Costco half sheet cake. Okay, so that's more than enough to cover for our guests. Our catering contract does not state that we're required to book our dessert through them. They're already aware that we're doing like a candy bar. Additionally, service is provided by the venue. So how bad does it look to show up with a pre-cut cake and disposable plates and forks? And I think the way she worded it when she said, how bad does it look, is really, how can I do this most successfully?
Exactly. Right. And like, the way that the how bad it looks is worded to me is that she's asking, I'm going to show up with this cake and not tell anybody. Mm-mm. Okay.
And put it on a table.
Exactly.
How do I get away with this?
Here it is. Done. Moving on.
Gotta you wanted go. Cake? Here's some cake. Let them eat cake.
I mean, what I think, like, this comes back to communication, right? Like, number one, you need to go and let your venue know that you are going to be bringing some cake. Okay. And have that conversation with them ahead of time. Because guess what? In that question, it's phrased kind of like, it's assumed in our contract that maybe mm-hmm. we could bring something in. Right?
Yeah. Tell them. And if you have to pay them a little extra to have them cut and plate it in the back,
exactly.
it is worth it.
It's 100% worth it. You don't want to get there and then say, oh, you're absolutely not allowed to bring that in. And then they decide to put their foot down and not let you bring it in.
Because or we are not going to cut it.
Exactly.
And then you and your mom. Yeah.
Well, also, I think probably because of budget issues, you know, if you bring in a cake and you want it served, they're going to get charged for that service. You're going to get charged for it. And I think that's probably one of the questions in the back of his or her head, right?
Yeah. And also, I think that that's okay too. Like, let's look at it from that point. A, you just need to let them know you're bringing it.
You're still saving money.
Yes, you are. And if they aren't going to serve it for you, that's also okay. But what you could do is you can designate someone from your bridal party or someone from your mm-hmm. family to cut the cake, right? And they could do it in the back and then have another couple of people help plate the cake and then it could be delivered. Okay. Yeah. But I think having guests serve their own cake is probably not the way to go in this situation, because everybody will get a different size piece. Right? Yeah.
Do it whatever you decide. The big point here is to inform the venue and the caterer. Mm-hmm. Don't try to pull one over on anybody. And also, if at all possible, do it behind a curtain in the back, in the kitchen, in whatever space they have for you. It won't take long and it won't be a huge hassle. There might be a small fee. I think it's still worth it. And for the record, I think Costco cakes are delicious.
They're really good.
So there's something, you're on to something. If you're going to DIY a lot of things, I don't think anybody's going to be shocked at a Costco cake. I just maybe don't do it in front of everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next question is about dress code. Michelle, don't you feel like we've been getting so many about black tie versus cocktail?
Yes.
So I'm interested to hear your take on this. She specifically said, can you refresh us on dress code? I would like our guests to wear suits, preferably dark, and for dresses, long or fancy cocktail dresses, but no tuxes. I'm not sure what to call this. It's a 6 p.m. wedding in a historic mansion, and I think the time and venue are pretty formal, but I'm not sure since my fiance is wearing a navy suit. We are planning on putting some answers to these questions on our website. So what would you, how would you word that?
Yes. Okay. So that's really perfect. Let's start with the highest level of etiquette. Okay.
Yes.
The highest level of etiquette says that there are two dress codes for a wedding in the evening. Okay. Cocktail and black tie.
Yep.
Okay. Or really white tie, but not very many people do that. But for our purposes, two. Black
so
tie.
What is this cocktail. One?
This one is cocktail.
Yeah, okay. It's cocktail.
Okay. And the formal way to inform people about cocktail attire on your invitation is to leave it blank. Because the only attire that should ever go on a formal invitation is black tie. The venue and the time of day indicate that it is cocktail.
Got it.
Now, there are a million different, that's the hard and fast, like, official answer.
No, right? I like the simplicity of it. I just think, like, these days, people show up with their nice jeans.
Exactly.
And
now,
call
I
it
love her
formal.
Idea of putting it on her website. Okay? That is 100% where this should be communicated. I will also say that a lot of people kind of bend this rule to help make people feel comfortable, and they will write cocktail on the invitation. Or sometimes if you have a different card that's being put in with the invitation, you could just write cocktail attire on that other card, but not the actual invitation.
Got it.
So
all of the, like, and I'm going beyond this question, but all the questions of, like, my wedding's outside in a vineyard, is it, but I want people to wear, like, sundresses, but how do I tell them to wear clogs or, you know, shoes that aren't heels, and is garden attire a thing? And like,
no,
the only attire that you would have to dictate on the actual invitation is if it's black tie.
Yep, that is correct. Otherwise, you should communicate it on your wedding website.
Yeah, the wedding websites, man, they're the best.
Everything, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like the etiquette.
They really have.
Like the etiquette god. Like you can put all the stuff that you really wouldn't want to say to anybody.
Yeah. You can put whatever you want.
Yeah, and you can refer people to it.
Yeah.
Okay. But I will caution you, that gets passive aggressive really quickly.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? And but if you can be more specific on there, the better off you are. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, I'm skipping to this because I think it's interesting. Two of my friends who were dating for several years recently split up. Although I was his friend first, she became someone I ended up even closer with. Mm. However, the bulk of my friend group are team him, and I don't think I can invite her without a huge pile of drama. Any advice on how to tell her? So she's not asking us if she should invite her. She's asking us, how do I tell her she's important to me, but I don't want to rock the entire cruise ship, she said, by inviting them both.
Oh, that is so hard, friends. That is hard. Okay? This is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to these these etiquette
in-person talks.
It is. It's 100% an in-person conversation, right? Number one, like abso-freaking-lutely. Okay. Number two, I mean, I know we're not going to address the idea of should she invite her or should she not invite her, but you're going to need to make it up to her if you choose not to invite her.
If she's that close to you. Yeah. I mean,
if
it's kind of like
that close to you. And the way that this is really written.
Yeah. That you're inviting everyone, but
literally her. Everyone, but her. The other part of this too, is that sometimes it's worth at least inviting her knowing that she won't come.
Yeah. Which is risky.
It is risky, but
she might just be like,
exactly. She might just be like, you know,
this is my swan song.
This is it. I'm out. These people, I'm
done. I'm going to show up.
It's true.
I like your idea of making it up to her. I mean, I think like girlfriend to girlfriend, you can do that.
Yeah. And girlfriend to girlfriend, you can. And you could even say like above and beyond like a dinner where you're going to tell her that you're not going to invite her, right? Like is bring her to dinner and then like have a trip planned for the two of you, right? Like it, I think it, the level of gift that you should give is dependent upon the level and closeness of a friend that she is.
We had some guys on a couple episodes ago from Men's Vows, and they talked about how sometimes it's okay to not be invited to a wedding. Like,
yeah,
it's not like you don't have to go, good for you. You know, you get to not do something that day, but like, that you can still be in someone's life and somebody can still be someone that you love and is important to you who doesn't, quote, make the cut for some reason or the other.
Exactly.
Like, keep in mind that there is life after your wedding.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that you can, and the other thing is this too, like there is also this idea that going back to the family, everyone should be able to behave like an adult, okay? So why, like my advice really in this situation would be to invite neither of them.
Mm.
If neither of you can be in a room and make this work, then we're not going to show favoritism. We're going to remain neutral in the situation.
Yeah, that's hard.
It is hard, but that's the adult thing to do.
Yeah, that's you're right. Sometimes
you're shaking your head.
We're going to like being an adult is hard, and this is the first time in this podcast that we've said like this is going to be. We talk about how it's challenging, but like, yeah, you have to man up or woman up and have some conversations. I mean, I'm still learning how to do that.
We're all learning how to do that. You know, I mean, look at look at the situation that occurred earlier today. With Harry and Meghan basically announcing that they were leaving the royal family, and they didn't apparently.
I heard too. It was a surprise.
It was a surprise. They didn't speak to the Queen about it. Okay.
How does that happen?
Because
they put out a press statement
and they put something on Instagram, but this is the thing: the Queen. Okay, the Queen of England is 90. She's about to be 98 years old. She is about to have an awkward conversation just like you might have regarding your wedding, okay? Because these kinds of conversations, they never go away. The only thing that happens is that you get better at having them.
Yeah, more comfortable going into it. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if the Queen is having to have these hard conversations, you could make it work, friend.
Well, okay. Well, then going to this one,
is there a happier question we can address?
What is the best way to maneuver plus ones?
Oh yeah.
Is it that if you let one person bring a random plus one, that it should be open to all? Michelle, we've talked about this, and we think like, what do we say if you're a real adult? Like, if you're not 20 years old getting married, then you should probably let everybody bring whoever they're dating.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It's hard because it goes back to capacity, goes back to budget, goes back to guest list. But
I just think it's rude to invite someone to come to your wedding and then say you can't bring your girlfriend.
Yes.
Like I've been in that position. It's rude.
Yeah. And I think that there is a fine line here, right? Because there is the fine line of someone's girlfriend, okay? And then there is a someone who's not dating anyone who gets a plus one.
Okay, so it's...
Those are two different situations. I do agree with you wholeheartedly that if someone is dating someone somewhat seriously, you should invite them and their plus one that they've been with.
Do you put it in the invitation then? Is that how you best...
You put their names.
Oh yeah, you put their name. If you know them and they're like coming, you should put their name and do that. But that inviting people that way does not necessarily mean that you have to invite your single friends with a plus one who are not dating someone.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I think it's rude, I guess, when you tell your guests that have a partner.
Oh, totally.
You cannot bring that partner because whatever the reason is.
Mostly usually capacity, I feel like. But then maybe you shouldn't put them on the list, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are you only going to have one of them over to your house for dinner? Go back to the original rule. But yeah, I definitely think you don't have to invite everyone who's single with a plus one. Because I will also say this, weddings are a great place to meet people, okay? So if you're coming single on whatever side and another person's coming single on the other side and you meet, it's a great place to make a good connection, right? Don't go searching for someone just to fill a slot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's another topic, though, for another podcast, friends. dating in the 21st century.
What do you think, Michelle? If you go down to this page.
How soon after the wedding should you send out? Thank you, guys. You know what? Can we just talk? Julian.
Yes.
You registered for, the couple registered for their wedding. And they start to get gifts way in advance of the wedding date.
Yes.
What's your protocol?
The protocol is this. They should start writing the wedding thank you notes immediately. Mm-hmm. But they should not send them until after the wedding.
Yes. That's what I recommend too. So they can open them. Open your gifts.
Open them.
Open them. See them. Get excited. Start
writing. Because otherwise it is going to take you the full year that you're given.
Yeah.
So start now. If you haven't started and you're listening, put down the podcast, get a headphone and like get a pen.
Go. Yes. Yeah. Cause that shit piles up on you.
It does, and it's painful.
Yeah. And you agree with me. I'm going to preempt this, that thank you notes are 100% necessary.
Absolutely.
Okay. All. Yes. I'm a big proponent of thank you notes.
Chrissy is a handwritten note queen. Like, what's that?
I sometimes send a thank you note to a thank you note.
Like, I send thank you notes to like the host of my friend's, like her mom who hosted the bridal shower.
Absolutely.
I just want to tell her it was really lovely and she did a great job with those tissue roses that she did. And
Mary, with your initials and your name, you should. Also, we have to keep the post office in business, people. Okay? So need to all start writing these notes, or they're going to go out of business and we're all going to have to FedEx everything.
Yeah.
Or at some point, Amazon it. Who knows?
Right. Amazon it. Yeah. Oh my God, that's next, isn't it?
Okay. It is. Just hand your package to the Amazon man and you don't have to even put any information on it. They're going to like telepathically know where to send it. Oh
my. They'll be bots. They'll be drones at that time.
But that's a good question.
Yeah.
Okay, we touched on this other stuff, but let me just ask you this last one about maybe order of wedding party stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We're seeing more and more couples have very uneven or non-traditional wedding parties. So this question is interesting. I'm wondering what your take is. I have both my sisters as my bridesmaids and couldn't choose between them for who's going to be my matron of honor. How do I make them both feel involved? Do I flip a coin for who gets to stand next to me or fix my dress or hold my bouquet? I love them both and I don't want either one of them to feel hurt and I don't want anyone to feel like I'm favoring one over the other.
So I feel like there are two different ways to sort this problem out. One is by age. And generally, like if you're looking at kind of the firm and fast rules of protocol, age comes into play a lot.
for right? who would like stand so, right next to her?
Who should stand right next to her should be the oldest.
Okay.
And then it goes down because that would generally be done in that way. The other way to do it would be by height. Mm-hmm. So choose
shortest one first.
Yes.
Possibly. It's because
depending on how you want Julian. Those photos to look.
Exactly. It depends yeah. on how you want the photo to look at.
Right.
Either way, you're probably going to hurt some feelings. But if you choose logic, there's really nothing that they can do about it.
Right.
Right. If you choose out of that order, it opens up a whole nother can of worms.
Which I think is part of this is kind of its own little trap. Like, how do you make them both feel special? You exactly. tell them both you love them and you're so happy to have them there on your wedding day.
You do. And you yeah. do it in person at a lunch.
And they're going to be in the same place a lot. If you're all getting ready together, if you're putting on the dresses together, if you're taking yeah. photos together. So it's going to be fine. I don't think it's as big of a decision as she probably feels like it is right now.
Yeah, it feels large because you haven't made the other decisions yet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It feels large because you're at the beginning, right?
Also, who fixes your dress? One of them fixes your dress. One of them holds your bouquet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you both have a role.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. The shorter one should be on dress duty. No,
this is good. Most of the year. It's good. And the shorter one is going to have spite and wear really, really tall. Yeah. But I think the key is really with all of these things, right? Like all the stuff that we've been talking about is about making sure that you head off resentments that people might feel once this large event is over by trying to handle them all on the front side, mm-hmm. right? And you're going to miss some. And that I think is also okay. Right? Like we all make mistakes. We're all human. We're all going to come at it in the best way that we know how. But if you do make a mistake, it's really, really important to be able to admit that mistake right away and try to fix it right away. Don't let it linger. Don't say, oh, I'll deal with it later. Don't move on past it because you're too busy, right, to deal with it. I think the number one thing is just to address whatever it is head on and admit that you made a mistake, own it, and have a solution ready.
Yep.
Yeah.
And make people feel comfortable, like you exactly. said at the top, and most use common people. Sense. That's yes. all you could do. The best is the best you can do.
It is, because we're tired.
And Julian, do you ever just have a day where you're like, I know, like with your partner, are you ever, you know, in your head, you're just like, I know. I should be apologizing for whatever, but you're just like, you know what? Yeah, I'm the dapper fucking diplomat. But today, I'm feeling like a real bitch and I don't want to have this conversation. Like, do you ever just like break your own rules and walk out of the room in a huff and then send 100%. A nasty passive aggressive text?
Absolutely. Well, very rarely. So I really, really, really try to have restraint of pen and tongue. Okay. Because some of that stuff you can't take back. Now, will I play it a million times over in my head? Pot kettle, pot kettle, pot kettle, pot kettle. Fuck yes. But I try really to not take it to the place where I can't recover.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I've learned that. And also I have been to a lot of therapy for it. So,
we love therapy.
Me too. Huge advocate. If you don't have a therapist and you're engaged and you're going through the process, now is the time.
Get one.
Get one and get one quickly. But yeah, I think that has really helped me for sure. But 100%, I have horrible days. And I deal with brides. I mean, like, look, you can see I've lost all my hair. At least your hair. Brides in Texas are crazy. No offense. Any brides from Texas listening?
It's a whole nother. Yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah. It's a different country.
Really. World. It can be crazy in the best way. And
in the best way and over the top in the best way. And I have the best job most days.
Yeah. But we're new. Yeah. We're human. Yeah. It's a lot to take on. Throw out your, this is all going to be on the show notes, which will be very detailed this time on our website. Cause we answered so many questions. So throw out your social media and where people can find you. And then that's a wrap. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. So first is my etiquette company. You can find me online at dapperdiplomat.com, on Instagram at dapperdiplomat, and on Facebook at the Dapper Diplomat. And then for my wedding business, it's julianlever.com and Instagram at julianlever. Facebook and Pinterest are both Julian Lever Events.
Lovely. Julian, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking to our peeps on the show and talking to us. It's been fun.
Absolutely. Yes. And if anybody else has etiquette questions, send them my way. I'm happy to answer anything that we didn't answer today.
We might. Oh, we get some that we're like, I don't know, with that very specific.
Call Julian. I don't know.
Okay. I'll text you.
What would the White House do?
Wedding 911.
Okay. Please, everyone, subscribe on iTunes, rate and review. This matters so much to us in big ways in the podcasting world. We need those ratings and reviews. On Instagram, anybody that's listening and hasn't followed us over there, please
do. You missed your chance.
We will probably do another one of these, but yeah. We need to boost those numbers over there as well at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And we do use hashtag Plan That Wedding. And we do look at that hashtag and see all of you that have tagged it and, you know, comment, and it's fun for us to see your weddings. On Facebook, you can search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And we also have that community group, which is great and collaborative.
You guys are amazing.
Chiming in there. It's really fun. Join us. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. Email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, which is the best way to get in touch with us if you have a question. And if you have gotten something out of these podcasts, and as we've helped you in any way, and you feel like you want to support us, we would so appreciate a contribution on Patreon, which is a website platform where we can get a little monthly love from listeners that feel like giving it. patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. As always, Michelle and I are both available for consulting. If you did not win the free consulting, you can get the unfree consulting, and we will give you a deal. So email about that. If you want to leave us a message or a question for a future You Ask, We Answer episode, you can call us at
415-723-1625.
That's it.
Boom. Happy planning, everybody, in 2020, and even those getting ready for 2021. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.